It's that time of week, folks. Sit back and relax as you join us on Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. What's up, everyone, and welcome to Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. I'm John, and as always, I'm joined by Nate Funk. Nate, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. A wet one tonight. We're getting rain, but yeah, the grass is green. I can't complain. We've got daffodils coming up. Looking good.
I'm glad that it's actually raining because I seeded some of our pasture areas last night.
To what? Pray tell, what?
Oh, I just put down some brassica and clover mix, just a pasture mix, a little bit of alfalfa, hoping to
kind of like a food
freshen them up. Yeah, right? It kind of is, but the goats do well on it. The first year I had the goats, I actually had food plots out for the deer, and a food plot, for people that don't know, is a plot of land where you plant basically what I just named off, and you let the deer eat it and grow nice and healthy and big for you, and then hopefully in the fall you'll see Bambi's dad, but you never know. So basically our first year I was like hungry for some areas because the goats just ate everything down. It was a dry year, so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna put them on the food plots, and they did really well on it. So this pasture blend is pretty much a food plot, but for goats.
Yeah, we haven't put anything down. I do have some trefoil left over that I might put down in a few bare spots. But it's going to be raining all day tomorrow, too. So I may put it down after I get back from work.
Yeah. It's the time of year to do it, my friend.
Well, it's also the time of year to be mending fences and
yeah, you know. Who are you telling? I gotta do my buck pen still, and
I heard it's about just some escape artists last week. Or
they're fine because they don't go anywhere. They just literally go in the woods right by their pen or in my backyard. They don't go up to the doe barn or anything like that. They just kind of hang out, but it's annoying and I don't need that for breeding season. So I just got to get to it. Kind of that time of year where it's like, find me the time between long hours with work and now just spending my mornings and evenings doing chores and doing small things. So, but we'll get there.
Well, good. Yeah. We're moving from one pen to the other doing barn cleaning. We also ran through and we gave everybody a CDT shot tonight. We have four does still left to freshen. It's moving along slowly. We're starting to eye, our show string, what it will be and potentials and what shows we want to do and.
Yeah.
And how we're going to do them.
Yeah, I'm going through the same thing. I'm deciding if I want to go to the Troy PA show, Pennsylvania, which I don't think I will just because it's a decent haul. Sounds like I'd be going by myself. I'd have friends there, but.
Well, we'll be there. We will be showing. We won't be showing half barn farm animals. Maybe we might be. We have a friend who they've asked us to help show down there, and they've got a couple half barn, actually only one half barn doe that I think of, but they've got a half barn buck, so there'll be a phone going on the floor. But there's, there'll be half barn animals there, but in one way or the other, but we're going there to help show.
That's cool. It'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fun. Last year was a huge show.
Yes, full. And that's part of my hesitation. Because I'll probably have to work the next day, and I don't feel like being overly exhausted for work the next day, so I might not do that one.
Well, what? It's a Saturday.
Yeah,
I think yeah.
Spoiler alert, folks! I work on weekends. That's why the podcast has been coming out a little bit later on Sundays, because I can't do it in the morning anymore because I'm waking up and grinding, doing chores before work.
So. Yeah, and having to play Mr. Dad. And
yeah, and now I have a special needs kid, too, that displaced her growth plate
in her goat front leg. Goat special kid. Needs yes. Goat kid. Yeah. Don't worry, Alice is fine.
I would
fine.
Never call Alice special needs. She's just special.
She is fine. She's growing beautifully, cute as a button.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have that dough kid with a growth plate issue.
Yeah. So I took her to the vet on Tuesday and was basically just said, "Hey, this kid's limping around. I don't feel a break, but." If we don't have to do an x-ray, please don't, type of deal. But they couldn't feel the break either. And then we did end up having to do an x-ray, and it showed the growth plate had been just moved slightly, and that was what was causing the limping. So we casted it up, or she casted it up, and she's in a pen next to the kids, being quiet now for, she's got to be in there for 2-3 weeks, most likely 3 weeks. I like to keep them in there as long as the vet suggests. So she said 2 to 3 weeks. Good. That means 3 weeks.
Good job. Good job. You know.
Yeah. So, and I want to mention, I didn't mention last week on the podcast, and Tierney, my wife, gave me a lot of flack for it. Tierney pulled off quite the April Fool's joke on me, and I can't believe we didn't talk about it on the podcast.
Well, I figured it was a little bit of a sensitive issue.
Well, it kind of was.
You putting your whole herd up for sale, that was a shocker. Right. You had me surprised. I was trying to figure out how to get Merrimack back.
So to play it out for folks, I was watching Alice on April 1st, which was what, Thursday or Friday, because those are my days off.
Thursday.
So Alice was napping, and usually one of my 2 days off when she's napping, I'll take advantage and lay down and nap too. She'll be in her little bassinet and I'll be in the bed. So I'm napping and my phone's getting text messages and I'm like, I'm not that popular. Like who's reaching out to me this much? This is crazy. I was like, well, I don't want to wake up Alice. So let me just, it's on the other side of the room. Let me just, you know, I'll get it when I get it. There was a couple missed calls. I was like, man, not enough to be like, oh, there's an emergency, but enough for me to be like, something's up. So then Alice gets up. I get her changed, all that good stuff, all that dadly duties. And I check my phone, and there's people messaging me saying, hey, how much do you want for your herd? And I'm like, what? And then they're like, can you separate the Nigerians? And I'm like, I have one Nigerian. What? What is going on? So then somebody sends me a screenshot of it, one of these potential quote-unquote buyers. I'm like, man, I'm like, what? And so I look at it on Facebook, and it's a profile somebody made that said John Goatman. And it had a picture of Orion as the profile picture, and then it had an ad for with a picture of my goats as
the pastor, right?
It was actually like our second year raising goats. Yeah, so there wasn't a lot there. Anyway, I was just like, what is going on? So I'm looking at it and I'm like, I mean, I don't think I'm the most popular person in ADGA, but I'm like, nobody would do this to me. So I'm sitting there thinking, who has an axe to grind with me? And I'm getting upset. So I call. First, I'm like, it might be my boss. So let me call my boss. So I call my boss and I go, Scott, was this you? And he's like, what? And I'm like, somebody made a post, blah, 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 blah. Like, just went off. He's like, man, I had 4 days off in a row. Do you think I have time right now to do something like that? I'm like, you're right. I apologize. But if it was you, I'm going to get you. He's like, haha, funny. And then hangs up. So then I call Tyranny and tell her what's going on. She's like, oh, no, that's crazy. And I'm, so I'm like, all right, well, I got to figure out how this is. So then I make a post on Facebook. I'm like, we are not selling our herd. This is ridiculous. Somebody's pretending to be me. So then Tyranny calls me crying, laughing. Turns out it was Tyranny. She's like, April Fools. Nate, I could have heated my house with the steam coming out of my ears for a year. And turns out she reached out to other breeder friends that we all know. She tried getting you guys in on it, but I know your guys' phone numbers, so that wasn't working.
Right.
Thanks, by the way. In your defense, you didn't see it until it had already gone down.
Right.
You were working hard that day. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So Tierney's like dying laughing. She comes home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from work. So this was at like 1 o'clock. I was like, I'm going to get you. Next year, Tyranny, because I know you're listening, because you always do, I'm going to get you back. And you're going to want to request off from work and hide. Because it is going to be crazy. But it was funny. In hindsight now, it was funny. But at the time, woo boy, I was like, somebody's messing with me and I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. She got you good.
That she did. So happy April Fool's Day, everybody, I guess. So what's going on in your farm for the week?
Well, you know, we kind of touched on a few things. We're cleaning pens, getting pastures set. We've sold a couple goats to different people, of course, but...
Well, you don't want to sell them to yourself. That's bad business.
No, yeah, of course. Hey, honey, I sold 2 goats to me, so can I keep this one?
Just transferred it into Jamie's name.
Yes! No, we sold to other herds.
That's good.
We've just kind of were getting ready for spring, for the spring shows. We're eyeing that garden, which right now is looking with the leftovers of last fall. Corn stalks are still there.
I'll till those bad boys up.
Oh, we will. We've got a friend who does that for us.
Oh, nice.
So, otherwise, things are pretty quiet, and we've had people stopping by to visit.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, knock on wood. You know, it's we still have 4 days to freshen, but no, we're set. We're eyeing our first spring shows. I'm trying to get everybody ready.
It's exciting times.
Yeah, we did CDTs today. No, it's pretty good.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think the big for us, you know, the things are kind of news related. We've got LA applications live right now. We put in to be a host herd. For those of you
awesome.
Who want to do linear appraisal, the application process, the applications will be accepted till April 15th. And then after April 15th, correct me if I'm wrong, there's like a $75 fee for late entry.
I haven't heard anything about that, but I honestly sent in my application and didn't really read much more into it, and just hoping that maybe we'll be a stop. If we are, we are. If we're not, we're not. But
yeah.
I didn't see anything about late entries, what that cost would be.
Now, what I do wonder is that the thing not everyone's going to get done, it's going to be severely limited.
Well, they haven't said it. ADGA hasn't said that. That's just what common sense tells you and I and
right.
other people.
But I mean, this point 2 years ago, people had already been appraised.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to try to appraise until October and November, then hopefully they make some kind of allotment for stale does. So if you're looking to be on linear appraisal, hopefully you are able to have your own stop or to be a host or to at least transport to a host herd. I don't know what criteria they're going to use for determining which host herds get done. We'll find out.
If I was a betting man, I'd have to say it probably has to do with what appraiser and what area can do it, and who's willing and who has the dates available.
I think that would be a huge factor. Mm-hmm. I would also imagine the number of herds to be done at one stop. May I don't know. We'll find out. They're going to, when they probably after what is it, next Thursday, they'll have a better idea. That's our deadline for signing up for.
Yep.
There's LA.
Currently 4 days left, folks. The 15th it closes down. So if you haven't signed up yet and you need a reminder, here it is.
Yep, 4 business days. So there's that. NG still has ongoing issues.
Well, that's honestly at this point to be expected. They're working through them as fast as they can. One thing that I've been hearing is that for paper applications that are sent in, each employee is limited to 5 registrations that they can do a day. Now, I want to quickly say that there have been multiple people that work for ADGA, that are like directors and people like that, have said, that's the first I've ever heard of this. I don't think that's true, but I'll check on it. But I've heard it. I've read it multiple times. That would be ridiculous. Imagine. I mean, there's some people that are sending 10 paper registrations at a clip. You want to tell me that, can only do 5 today. Sorry. Let me pass this off to this other employee. Maybe they'll do these ones. It's just, I don't know, man. It's the...
I could understand if they said that was an average. Like the average number would be 5 per employee. But that an employee can only enter 5 per day. Unless there's a lot more to entering the data in, I don't know.
I have no idea. So that's just something I've heard. Who knows if it's true?
I know that, you know, there's the issue of if you were previously given authorization to use a herd name in a tattoo, that has to be handled, I guess, by a case-by-case issue. My personal case is that, you know, back when I was 5, 40 years ago, or 41 years ago, you know, I was authorized to use my father's herd name. And his tattoo cut to now, 41 years later, I've had my own herd name, my own tattoo for the past 6 years. And now ADCA remembers that 41 years ago I was given that authorization. So now my tattoo that it comes up on NG is my father's old tattoo. And I have no herd name. So.
Gotta love it.
So, not everything is fixed yet. I'm believing there's still a support ticket out there. But I think nearly everyone's got 2 or 3 or 4 support tickets. You know, kind of like raffle tickets.
Yep. Just pick it out of the fishbowl and figure out which one gets fixed first. It's unfortunate. It really is. At this point, I'd say for show season's sake, if you're holding off on registering kids, but you plan on showing some of those juniors at a show, register them. I know I've said in the past, don't register your goats unless you have to. Well, guess what? It's getting down to the point where, what are you going to wait to register a goat until you breed it? Like, what are you going to do?
But, you know, I think for some people that may be what, I will say that may be what happened.
It could be.
There are people who don't like showing juniors.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not particularly fond of it unless it's a big junior.
If you have to show the junior, register it. Or if you think you're going to, register it. But do it now. But if you don't, if you're not going to register it till fall, if you're not going to worry about it till fall, maybe that might be the better time. I don't know.
And if you're sending in your registrations through the mail, just know that there is a 4 to 6 week period before you receive those registrations back.
Or error report.
Yeah, or an error report back. So that is, oh, hey, I sent this in. Where is it? Well, guess what? They're still going through February stuff. They're still in February work being done, processed.
We're entering the second week of April. Third week.
Yeah.
So that means that if you tomorrow mailed that out, you're going to get it just before, you know, Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
To give you an idea. So if there's a June 1st, or first weekend of June show, you may want to get that going.
Yeah.
Just
100%.
You know? So, even at a July show, you may want to get that going in case you have to, you know, respond to an error report. Because you're not going to be able to call in to get it corrected.
Right.
You know? Yep.
If you're having unique issues with these registrations, I've been seeing a lot today where people are getting registrations back where the dates are a day off from, like, the birth date of the kid, or just damn and sire are wrong, just a bunch of weird stuff. So definitely make a ticket and reach out to people and try to get it fixed. I do want to move on from NG because I feel like we've harped on it so much. I mean, it is important that we talk about this because I feel like there's a lack of communication when it comes to NG from the EC. I've got directors that are left in the dark. So if people are tired of hearing us talk about NG, we'll try to limit it. But
on the other hand,
we want to help as much as possible.
If you want us to try to find out, well, we can't find out any more answers than the directors themselves are trying to find out.
Right.
Well, you know, we can try to help how we can help, but it seems like it's kind of one of these things where you just gotta keep trying, keep checking, and hold it, just wait.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're moving on. So National Show Milkout is back on schedule.
That kind of came out of left field.
Yep, the rule change was after a board vote, so the board of directors did vote on it. And so they are, if you're going to be in Louisville for a national show, they are looking for volunteers for Milkout Check.
Well, that hasn't been, I don't want to talk about that. Let's not talk about that.
We'll move on.
So let's move on from, just know that National Show Milkout is back on. The board of directors voted on it in a postal ballot, and it passed the changes that they wanted. So Milkout's back on. Not sure how that's going to look yet. But speaking of, you know, National Show, the people behind that are the committee, the National Show Committee. There's also plenty of other committees working hard right now, especially with NG issues. So let's talk about why committee work is important and why these volunteers should be appreciated more by the membership and the registry. Because you mentioned a post, or you mentioned the volunteer thing. I'm not going to talk about that post or anything like that. But I can tell you right now, people were tearing into this volunteer for just sharing information. Now, yep. A committee is there to help make things easier for the whole registry, not, you know, National Show Committee. They tirelessly came up with those rules for National Show just so we could have one. Because frankly, folks, we probably weren't going to have one if these rules weren't made up by this committee. And then you've got the IM committee working tirelessly to try to fix this mess of NG. And I could go on and on and on about these committees. But just remember, folks, on Facebook land, these are volunteers. They are working hard because they have a passion for dairy goats just like you and I. They're not out there for clout, at least most of them. They just want to help. So stop ripping them apart on Facebook. My rant is over. It pains me to see it, Nate. I'm sorry. It just does.
No. I mean, in many of these cases, you know, we have volunteers who are trying to, you know, we had volunteers who tried to test NG. And for as much as the few of them could test it, what they couldn't test was, you know, the issues that would arise that no one realized were going to happen. They didn't realize that, you know, there was going to, you know, my case, that there was going to be a code needed to unauthorize my father's tattoo use by me. You know, they didn't, you know, there's all these things. You know, they didn't realize that there was going to be, for whatever reason, you know, the account balance issue.
Well, they didn't realize it because they didn't code it. They had a company that coded it, and they just coded it incorrectly.
But the testers couldn't, you know.
Right.
Are limited by what's there. You have volunteers volunteering to do, National Show Committee. You know, keep this in mind as we approach convention is coming up too in October. Lord willing, to be able to have that. All these things are really run by, many of them are by volunteers. They work with ADCA. Are they human? Do mistakes get made? Are they limited by what they know and can do? Yeah. If you can do it, if you can interact with them politely, treat them like humans, you know, if you have differences of opinion, how things were done, or you think that things could be done better than what they are, next year, sign up to be on that committee. Volunteer to be on that committee. Yeah. You know, I had it put one time, quite frankly, a couple years back, I made a complaint about the way a committee did something, and that the best lesson, it was real simple. Someone just said to me, beautiful, you've got an idea of how to make that committee operate better. Next year, you're going to sign up for it. Honestly, no, I didn't. But it taught me that if I want to make a change in the committee, if I know how that committee should be doing something, and I'm going to be vocal about how that committee should be doing something, maybe I should be on that committee.
Yeah.
So
put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly. That would be my thought. Otherwise, just realize they're human.
Yeah.
Mistakes get made. Yeah, sometimes there may be a bias. Maybe there's not. Maybe they're trying to do the best thing for everybody involved. And are limited by logistics. So let's move on from there. Last week, we were discussing babies, kidding season.
Yeah, we were all over kidding season, and I believe my cat got attacked by a fox, and it kind of just like threw everything off the rails. But we wanted to make it into a part two because we didn't touch on some things. And the first thing I want to mention is thank you to Nancy Bowling, who is an avid listener. We appreciate hearing your comments every week when you're listening. It always makes me smile. But you did mention that I mentioned how coccidia, I didn't put them where like the chickens were because I was afraid kids would get coccidia. And she was quick to say, well, it's not interspecies. Now, goats can transfer coccidia with like sheep, which makes sense because they're very similar small ruminants.
Yep.
But as far as like the chicken coccidia and goat coccidia, it doesn't marinate together. So it's just one or the other when it comes to those. So I guess I could have just ran my kids with the chickens. I'm kidding. I would never do that. But
well, you know,
but okay, thank you for that.
You say that, though. We have, our birds are generally free range. You know, we have guineas and we have chickens and turkeys. Well, not so many turkeys anymore. And they kind of run around with, you know, the goats. The guineas and the chickens really help keep the snail and slug population down, which thereby helps with meningeal worm control. So I think if there was issue with coccidia through the poultry getting to the goats, that would be an issue. But we haven't had an issue, at least.
Now, it makes sense.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if you have poultry and in a not clean environment, that it might foster bacterial growth.
Yes, if it was a disgusting area for everything to be living in, then yes, that's gonna grow some pretty nasty bacteria that you probably don't want your kids to be hitting the ground on.
Right, you know, but you know,
you gotta catch them and dip their cords.
Right. Well, I mean, in dipping the cord, you know, having that on hand. The other thing, like, you know, not all bacteria is bad. You know, like the CDT. You know, giving the doe that shot before the kids are born. If you're gonna dam raise the kids, the CDT will transfer to the kids. That'll give your kids a good chance to hit the ground running. Give them, you know, they'll be a little better off getting that in the dam's milk. It'll help the dam be ready for your milking, feeding of kids, getting that rumen ready. It has the tetanus in there as well.
Right. So, when your kids are, you guys bucket feed, so this might be a little bit different. And we talked about that last week, as far as bottle feeding and bucket feeding and what's the difference between them. But when you guys are bucket feeding and I'm bottle feeding, how do you know when to increase increments of the milk that these kids get?
So we start ours actually on bottle. When they first, you know, the first few days they're getting ounces, and we're measuring the ounces per feeding. Sorry, my cat's trying to block my camera here.
Nate and I have a camera where we can see each other, so that way I can, you know, do the old hands to the neck stop. No, I'm just kidding. All I saw was fur in the left-hand corner, and I was like, is it Jen messing? Because Nate's in a black space right now. He looks like he's on a paranormal TV show right now. So we're waiting for a ghost to show up. But a ghost did show up. It was just a fluff of fur, and I couldn't tell what it was. It was his cat.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway.
He's laying on top of the printer behind the computer. But anyway.
He wants to be a star.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so you know, we start them off with bottles, and you know we keep track of how many ounces they're eating, and probably at about a week old we start. I guess you could, you know, what is it? The term is helicopter mom, where you're right there, you're watching, you know, everything, you're keeping an eye on the poop, you know, sort of thing. And we do that. We keep an eye on the condition of the fecal as it's coming out. And if it starts looking loose, we back off on the amount of milk. And, you know, if it's still firm, we see what they want. Probably for the first week, they're getting about what they want. We're feeding them probably 4 or 5 times a day. They're getting, you know, what they want.
And I'm about the same way. I fill my bottle up to 16 ounces that it goes to when they're first starting out for the first week or so. And I fill it up and I feed them 4 times a day. And what they drink is what they drink. And I write it down so I know who's kind of slacking and who's not.
Right. You shot this all. You have this feeding log.
I was wondering if you'd bring that up. Right now it's more of a guesstimation because I've switched to bigger bottles that aren't incremental. But I do keep a log that says, you know, Gem Dome, Gem Buck, Voss, or Minerva Dome, Minerva Buck, whoever. And I write down the times they ate, how much they ate. That way I can kind of keep an eye on if there's somebody slowing down and I'm just not noticing or just not paying attention, just half asleep when I'm feeding them. I can look back and say, okay, this is what they've been doing lately. Maybe they're off. It also helps me look back to previous years and say, oh, this group of kids grew really well. How were they eating at this stage of their life? And I can look back and see. And I'm doing that for last year. I just upped my kids that are 4 weeks old now. I just upped their intake a little bit. So now they're getting offered 25 ounces instead of 20.
Yep.
So
and that's about we'll what we do. It's funny. For us, it's like they get up to the 20-ounce soda bottle, and they get to that point. And then we start noticing that they're eating the 20-ounce, and they're still a little hungry. So then they jump up to the 24-ounce soda bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by the time they're at about 24-ounce, you know, I don't have specific weeks and days because it depends on the weight of the individual size of the kid. You know, if I say, you know, at, you know, 6 weeks, they should be drinking a 30-ounce bottle, it's not going to apply to Nigerian dwarf kids or kids born at, you know, 5 pounds.
Right.
You know, so
basically you do what I do and you give them what they'll drink and without making them just gorge themselves. You're not forcing them, you know, opening up their mouth and pouring down milk.
Exactly.
Now there are for people listening, there are charts out there that highlight, your kid weighs this. This is how much they should be drinking a day.
Right.
I don't do that. I just kind of. By now, I'm just like, okay, they're at this age. This is kind of what they should be drinking. Let me offer it to them. And if they act like they're just getting too much and start, like you said, start scouring, getting those runny poops, then I'm like, okay, time to back off for a week and just give them back 20 ounces and then see next week if I up it again what they'll do.
Now, I have heard...
That's how I play it.
I have heard people say, 20% of the body weight.
Right.
And we went back and forth with someone purchasing an animal. And really what it ended up being was, they ended up actually, you know, having an animal they could use. But, you know, we just kept discussing, you know, how we feed and such, and they were going with the 20%, and not seeing the growth which we were getting. And I guess the idea is watching what they're eating and how often they're eating and how much they're willing to take and what the feces look like when they're going. It's probably closer to you know, not really dam raising, but as close as I would say you can get, personally,
yeah,
in my opinion.
It mimics it for sure. You know, the dam's not going to go, oh, my kid got its allotment for the day. Let me stop feeding it, you know?
Right. It's not going to be, but same time, you know, it's going to be like, oh, the kid's hungry. It's still hungry, and give the milk.
Right.
You know, that being said, we're not giving it all at once. You know, goodness, I have a dope kid who'd probably eat until she blew up. And you know, that's just not healthy for it. So it's, you know, it's kind of, there's a lot of observation to go into it. I will say what we do usually work up to is to about 32 ounces of feeding. But in saying this, we're not doing 32 ounces four or five times a day. By the time they're up to 32 ounces, they're up to a twice a day feeding.
And how old are they when they're getting that? They're probably close to 8 weeks old.
6 to 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a matter of kind of observing what they're eating, how much they're willing to take, how it affects them.
Right.
You're not just pouring it in them. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Totally kind of a little off top off that. When do you start trimming hooves?
Oh, honestly, once they start, it'll probably be like 2 weeks from now. I'll start trimming if they need it. It depends on the kids. So I have some, like my gem line, their feet grow pretty quick and pretty ridiculously. They have beautiful feet, but their hooves grow fast. So I usually, about 6 weeks old is when I have to do it. And then others, I won't have to touch them until they're 8 to 10 weeks or longer. I just try to get them used to it. If they don't need it done, though, I'm not going to do it.
No, that's fair. I know that, like, we've had doe who they were just slow growing, kind of like some people have slow growing fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they just, you don't need to trim it as often. Whereas others, you know, a week later, they need trimming. It was just a curiosity. I know some people wait a little bit. We mm-hmm. try to be on top of it ourselves. But I was just curious.
Can I get back on the milk portion
yeah.
of
this? Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
Before I lose my train of thought. No, it's fine. So we talked about bottle feeding, but we didn't touch on if we use just goat milk, or if we add replacer or use replacer, or if we go to the store and buy whole milk. What is it that you do on your guys' place?
So, yes. Okay. So,
can you be a little bit more specific, please?
It depends on who's freshening. Who's freshening first? Is it a first freshener freshening first? Is it a doe who's milking, who normally milks, you know, 10 pounds a day, and thereby she's going to freshen milking like 2 or 3 pounds for mm-hmm. her two kids who aren't going to drink at all? There's a lot of it depends.
Agreed.
So if it's a first freshener who's the first one freshening, or who's first one in a while freshening, or even a doe who's low producing, we use a milk replace, a colostrum replacer, not a colostrum supplement. Colostrum
supplements replacer. Are trash. Don't use them, folks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're right. Well, yeah, there's a place for them, but it's kind of like a niche.
Not a colostrum supplement. That's ridiculous. Like, just use a replacer if you have to.
Yeah. we use a colostrum replacer that pretty much comes in single serve packets, and because it doesn't really.
I've had to use them too. Yeah.
Yeah. Try and avoid saying the brand, just because I don't want to be, you know. Well, I'll put it. It's a Save a Lamb colostrum replacer. It comes in a package with about 6 or 7, maybe 8 other packets. One packet will do pretty much a feeding for that first feeding on these newborn kids. And we'll use that if we don't have pasteurized colostrum available. If we have pasteurized colostrum available, we'll use that. So in that case, it's a matter of whether we use replacer or the actual colostrum. It's kind of it depends.
Same here. So if we've got enough colostrum from the dam, then great. If not, then got to use replacer to get enough colostrum in them for the first 24 hours. What we generally do is try to use as much of the goat's milk as we possibly can for these kids. I feel like, nature made this milk for them, so might as well use it on them for when we can and while we need to. But like this year is a little bit tougher for us. We've got 7 kids here still because, who can sell bucks this year? Apparently nobody.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. So I still have these 7 kids. I'm down a milker because Carla died, who was a second freshener and should have been producing plenty to help raise these kids. So right now, basically with these 7 kids, who most of them are 4 weeks old, except for 2 who are 2 weeks old, we just burn through milk. Usually every milking is enough to feed 1 feeding. So morning milking feeds the kids in the morning. And then on my lunch break, I go to the gas station and I buy 2 gallons of whole milk. And that gets me through the next 2 feedings usually. And then the evening milking or evening feeding is from the evening milking. I'm buying whole milk right now. We don't use milk replacer. Whole milk, pasteurized whole milk is just fine for them, and they do pretty well on it.
So we kind of did the same thing, and I'll kind of go in a little bit more in depth. So a few years back, we tried using the Land O'Lakes goat milk replacer. Mainly because not all milk replacers are created equal. Yes. I have had vets tell me certain brands do not use certain brands. And if anyone wants to reach out to me and ask me what they are, I will not bash specific brands here. But we use the Land O'Lakes Doe's Match milk replacer at... We're buying it $75 a bag.
Jeepers creepers.
And we had to order it and have it shipped in. Okay. So, it was a pain to get. And, so we started, saving colostrum. And luckily for a few years, we had enough does in milk at the same time that we had kid goats. We didn't really end up needing to worry about milk replacer or any issues. But as many of our listeners know that, here, our farm this year went through a
rough patch.
We've lost 4 does. And for a while we had 2 does who simply weren't milking because they were in such condition. And so we had, we ended up with 4 does worth of kids and only 2 does in milk.
Yeah.
And they weren't really producing much. So, we ended up looking at the cost of milk replacer and the cost of buying whole milk, cow milk from the store. And we were going through 2 to 4 gallons of milk a day. Right. We got to the point where we were saving our grocery receipts to because for taxes. You know,
yeah.
Right, you know?
Yeah. Be smart and, about it. Yeah.
You know, for farm expenses. So that's what we did. And we did it because even then, doing it that way was cheaper than buying the does match. Also, that you got to be careful with a lot of milk replacers can cause, you know, bloat and other issues.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. We went with using whole milk for that sort of purpose.
And plus, it supports dairy farmers, so it keeps them in business. So why not? Now, when you're selling kids, are you selling them when they're on the bottle, or are you weaning them and then selling them?
It depends on the buyer.
Okay.
It depends on the buyer. Same here. Some buyers request, and we leave it up to them. They request that we wait until the kid is weaned, at which point, you know, we start to go saying, well, we're keeping it that long. You know, we've got to make arrangements for board, you know, keeping that animal.
Right. I do the same thing.
An extra cost. But generally, if we're selling young kids, it's presumed that the person is going to have to, you know, take them on the bottle. We do tell them, you know, we just talk to them about feeding process. Most of the people we've been selling to lately have been experienced breeders. So, you know, generally we don't have to talk too much about that. We just tell them how we feed and what we do, and we leave it up to them, the rest up to them.
And if you are selling a kid, people listening, if you're selling a kid and you dam raise and you want to move the kid, so you advertise it on Facebook as a bottle-fed kid, don't do that, for the love of God. I've seen it happen to somebody. And it's not a great situation trying to train a kid to a bottle that's been dam raised and hasn't had much human contact because it's been dam raised.
Years ago,
don't be that person.
I'd say years ago, we'd had so many kids. Periodically, something would happen to a doe who'd been nursing a dam raised kid, and trying to train that dam raised kid to bottle, that's tough. Most of the time it doesn't happen. Actually, most of the time what you end up doing is, hopefully, if you can, if you have other does and they are in,
grafting it onto it.
Yeah. You're trying to foster it off onto another doe, providing the other doe is willing to be nursed by somebody else's kid. But yeah, if you're selling dam raised kids, it might be better to wait to try to sell them once they're weaned or a weanable age. I suppose if the kid is eating hay and grain, it could be weaned. I've heard of people weaning at, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. So it can be done.
But
I spoil mine.
Buying them is aware.
The buyer needs to be aware.
Right.
We tell them, you know, they're on the land bar. We recommend that they be fed milk until, you know, 20 or 24 weeks. But kids, though, are being weaned at 12.
Right.
Now
when, so I'm just like going through my list here. It's kind of a hodgepodge right here. When you're raising your kids, bottle feeding, as we do, do you guys, when you put them out in the barn, are you guys using heat lamps, or do you just put down enough bedding and let them huddle up?
Again, it depends.
Okay.
Like our January, February kids, we bought some of those Premier One heat lamps. We put them in a pen where the airflow was a little bit, it wasn't drafty. The heat from the lamp could be felt and make an impact on the heat of the pen. At the same time, we just put a couple doughlings out this past week out in a pen. That's not like that, but the temperature is probably 20 to 30 degrees warmer than it was in January.
It's 45 degrees here right now at night, so
yeah, it's so warmer. So. There's a lot that it depends on. You know, growing up, man, we might have 4 or 5 bottle kits a year. All our other kid goats were born and dam raised out in the barn starting in December through March, in the coldest part of the year, and they did okay and they did well. Looking back, we may have had a higher percentage of loss than I would like back then, but that was the 70s, 80s, and 90s, folks.
People and animals were built different back then.
Well, there were different expectations.
The goats walked uphill both ways to the milk stand. So
there was no milking machine.
Right. You suffered.
When you went to a show, you milked that dough out before going to Grand Champion or after.
Right. We use heat lamps. Right now, they're pretty much done with them. I've got them about as high as I put them before I take them out. But that's just because they're right now, they sleep in our basement in a big pen. So it's just a little bit cooler down there at night. So we just keep it on them to keep them warm. But I mean, right now, they're 4 feet up in the air, so they're not getting much heat. And during the day, they're turned off. So that's what they're getting.
So how long do you keep your kids in the house?
It depends on the year, Nate. I appreciate you bringing this up.
Yeah, so this sounds like, you know, the forester's favorite word is depends. So we're using a lot of depend. Yeah. Depends. It depends on
last
the year.
Last year they were in there probably a bit too long, getting fat and happy. This year they'll probably be in there for another, at night, at least for 4 weeks. More. But during the day they're out in the barn, stretching their legs and running around. So at night they just come down, just because the does are out in pasture during the day. And then the kids go out in the barn, so they're able to run around and just do kid things, and then at night I bring them back down. So that's what we'll be doing here. Rainy days, obviously they'll stay in, but
ours normally stay in for 2 weeks, three if there's a health issue, you know, with the kid itself. You know, was it a preemie? Was it, you know, having a breathing issue? But otherwise, ours stay in the house, in front of the fireplace. You know, 70 to 80 degrees.
You're keeping them in your house, like upstairs. Mine are in a pen that's got straw and hay, and it's basically like another stall for us. It just happens to be in our basement, just the way it works.
Yeah. Ours is just, to make sure that they're stable and healthy and able to handle the climate outside.
Right.
And then they get kicked out of the barn.
Yeah. Well, as a visual for people, my basement's also a garage, so it's not like just a dugout basement. It's a garage, has a garage door, has a walk-in door. It's not like it's not like I'm carrying these kids up and down the stairs from our basement.
No, I'm not trying
you hurt my
difference. Of how things go, in this, you've got them in the basement, with the basement pens, because you've got the cement floor in the garage, basically your garage. you know, we keep them for two, maybe, you know, 3 weeks in totes in the house. And, you know, yeah, they get to run around a little bit. But, you know, after about 2 weeks, they go from the warmth of the fireplace out to the barn and, you know, have right. that hard knock life.
yeah, they're walking uphill both ways. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So with those kids and, you know, I keep mine downstairs and, you know, because it's colder out, we're in New York. For us here in New York, when, and this will be like our last point here, but when are you comfortable with shaving your kids for show? I know for me, it's got to be a July show or onward before I clip them.
It depends. No, what were you? It's like the word for this episode. Right. No, it's
we're putting on our depends.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it depends on the weather in the year. You know, right. we have some years where it's warmer and some years where it's colder. You know, we have the, you know, here in New York with the Altamont Buck Show. It's a Northeast Buck Extravaganza. And that's usually the first weekend of May. This year it'll be the second because they felt the first was way too early. Because it literally mm-hmm. May 1st. And in the past, we have tried clipping a buck kid for that show. And it usually just looked like crap. Cause it, you know, they'll forecast the show. For, you know, it's going to be 70 degrees on Saturday. Saturday comes and it hits 45 or 48. And yeah. the buckling that you clipped thinking it was going to be 70 degrees now is sitting there with a little goat coat on and wanting to know why you slick shore. and so then, you know, 2 weeks later, you know, the doe show happens and you're wondering whether to clip your doe links. And yeah, we've made the decision that, you know, generally we'll, the state show is probably the earliest, and that's the third weekend, second or third weekend of June. You know, at that point, you know, we can do things like we can shut the barn up. And we've been known to, you know, in June, shut the barn up for 2 weeks. And it's because we've got does who, or bucks who've been clipped, and it's still a little chilly.
Yeah,
our barn, you know, it's generally about 10 degrees warmer inside the barn than it is outside. So we can do that and it'll help them, or we put them in goat coats. But for the most part, generally that June show is up that the earliest we like to. We have clipped bucks for the May show. Again, we try to keep careful eye on the weather, what it's going to be for 2 weeks after the show.
Right. So you're just clipping them if the weather permits. If it's going to be down in the 40s or even low 50s, probably not a good idea just right. because they'll be hunching up and not looking their best. I'd rather have a fluffy kid that still looks amazing than a hunched up kid that's probably not going to be happy or
healthy.
It can compromise their health. So
now, that being said, you know, Tom Rucker has a really good.
I asked him for it today, actually.
He has a really good graphic on and link on his web page for buttonheads for mm-hmm. cold weather grooming.
Right. It is buttonheads.com, and then you'll see cool weather grooming.
Yes.
And it shows it's got a nice little picture of a goat telling you, you know, for cold weather shows, you know, shave inside of ears, remove beard, you know, blend the neck, and but you're not taking them down with a 10 blade. You're just shoring up hairs, making them look pretty,
maybe
basically.
Maybe around the tail, the tail head, possibly up in the mm-hmm. scutcheon. You know, we got that yep. flank that gets yep. a little hairy during the winter. You might be clearing that up. Maybe the outer. Mm-hmm. Down around
oh,
the
definitely
feet
shaving
in the past.
Outer.
down around the feet in the pasterns. Not on these junior kids.
Well, no, you know, no, but
you know. You may be touching up the brisket a little, but otherwise the rest of the body and the legs and the neck and the head hair, you may be leaving. You know, if you feel that it's going to be, you know, cool weather. You know, there's that Troy PA show you mentioned. That's the end of April. That, you know, that's
and that's another reason why I'm probably not going to go is because it's going to be cold, probably.
It's going to be a fuzzy show. You know, I know that there's fuzzy shows all over the country, you know, coming up. And, you know, it might not be a bad idea to give Tom a little traffic on his webpage and look that up.
Yes. Anybody anybody wondering, it's buttonheads.com. And then you'll see a link that says Cool Weather Grooming right there. And there you go. You have it. And it's got great information on it. Tom doesn't listen because he says he's too old to figure out how to listen to these podcasts. That's the way he stated it. He's too old to figure it out.
I think he's just too awesome. That's it. Yeah,
Love you, Tom. So, even though you're not listening. So anyway, I think that's a good spot to wrap up.
Yeah, and we yep.
If anybody wants to keep the conversation going about how we raise kids, which, by the way, what we say is not final. Everybody does it different. There's 1,000 ways to skin a cat, and there's 1,000 ways to grow a kid. So yeah, everybody's going to do it a little bit different.
I would say, you know, feel free to reach out to, you know, there's some other people we've talked to and that we both know. You can reach out to, you know, Don George is usually pretty open about how he raises his animals.
He grows them pretty quick and pretty awesome.
Yep.
Him and Terry.
I've spoken with Megan Oakeson. She's usually, when you buy an animal from her, you get her codex for raising kids. Brandy Giacchino will be happy to help you with what she's doing. Most any breeder who sells you an animal is going to want to see that animal do well and be mm-hmm. happy to share how they feed and breed their animals. So, you know, if you're buying a kid, you know, or even if you have a kid and you don't know, you know, last year's batch seemed a little small, ask somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope everybody had a good kidding season or is wrapping up a good kidding season or what have you. Yeah, I think it's a good spot to stop. I hope this was helpful for everybody. Next week, Nate, do we have a guest?
No, week after. April.
Week after, okay.
Yeah, I think it's the 25th. I got to look at my calendar here quickly. Oh, you got a cat somewhere in there that's complaining?
Oh, that was my rocking chair.
Oh, April 25th.
It is complaining. It's like, dude, lose weight.
April 25th, we will be discussing showmanship. We'll have a couple of guests. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. We might have a guest next week. I might find somebody. I might squeak somebody in. Who knows? Yeah. We're always throwing wild cards. Everybody, this has been Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. I'm John, and that's Nate.
Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast, is not an affiliate of the American Dairy Goat Association. All opinions or information regarding the ADGA does not represent the registry.